Hello there. This is Choices with your host, Judy Mario. Welcome to the show. And, you know, we know that everything in our lives exists because we made a choice about something, and the choices we made are what has brought us to where we are today, and we must accept the consequences of our choices. Too often, our choices are determined by emotional attitudes and reactions to external circumstances without due regard to thoughtful decision. And when we allow negative emotional reactions to direct our choices, we find ourselves facing consequences that we don't desire. Using our power of logical thinking helps us to make wiser choices, which we can create more desirable results in our lives. And today we're talking with an expert on customer service and customer service in the hospitality industry. And, you know, we think the hospitality industry is a fun industry because it's where people go to have fun. And yet we find sometimes that the customer service is just not exactly what we expected. So our guest today is Rocco DiLorenzo, and Rocco is an expert in customer service in the hospitality industry. Welcome, Rocco.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. We're talking about choices here. And so I want to ask you, in the hospitality industry, what is the number one priority? What is the number one choice that employees should make?
The number one choice that I think they should make is how they go to work, or being in a good mood, or being a positive mood, but it's all about how they show up at work and in the mindset that they're in. So the whole thing about the customer service industry is that they're there to create an experience for their guests, and that's what they have to focus on.
Okay. And you talk about very often about selling the experience. When you say experience, selling the experience of customer service, is that what you mean?
Yes. You're selling it, delivering it. The whole point is that people, especially in the hospitality, the guests and the customers, if they go there for a particular reason, they go to have a good time, especially if they go to a hotel, they want to leave with a positive experience, because when they leave, they're going to share that experience with the friends and family, good or bad. It's the job of employees in the hospitality industry to always make sure it's a positive experience, so they turn those guests into loyal guests.
I see. And so what could they do in order to make an experience exciting? What are some of the things that the employee can actually do over and above what the casino or the hotel says that we have to do, because they always say we have to be pleasant, we have to be charming, we have to make an experience for the customer. But what does that mean to me if I'm an employee? What do I need to do?
The two things I speak about, they have to change the perspective, first of the job title. Now, there's a hotel employee, yes, but I think the number one thing they need to understand is that their title or their job description is, like I said, to create the experience. They're really, believe it or not, in sales, because they're selling the idea, they're selling the place that they work for. They're trying to convince people, they're trying to persuade people that their hotel or casino is the best place for people to go to. So I believe they're part of the salespeople. Second part is, I think they have to start to learn to appreciate the value of the guest, because they will appreciate them until they start seeing them more as just a guest. They have to change the perspective of who these people are that come to the place to do business. They got to see more than just another person, just another number. And I think by doing that, if they can build a better connection with them, that leaves a greater experience for the guest or customer. So those are changing the perspective of the job.
Yes, exactly. And you know, how do we create that customer connection in order to have that better experience with them? What can we do?
Just start a conversation with them. Get to know them. In fact, there's a study with my J.D. Power. They said that a guest satisfaction level goes higher with the more interactions that he has.
With the
staff.
Yes, so the
more interacting. Okay.
So the more the customer feels like you're their friend, the more they feel like you care about them, the more likely they are to come back and to tell other people to come back. Is that what I hear you saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, because most times they just speak to people that they check in with, the staff that they check in, and after that, there's no other interaction. They need to constantly be interacting with, no matter where they go, to the restaurant, like reservations, anywhere they go, they'll have to get a constant interaction. They have to get to know them by name. You know, it makes it more personal for them. That's what they're looking for. People return to where they feel welcome, where they feel valued. And I think that's the number one thing they have to do. They have to feel welcomed.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I used to go to this one hotel here in Vegas, and I'll never forget the first time I went there. I pulled my car up in the driveway, and the valet parker said to me, "What is your name?" And I said, "Do you want my first name or my last name?" And he said, "Well, what do your friends call you?" And I said, "Well, my friends call me Judy." And he said, "Well, would it be all right if I call you Judy?" And I said, "Well, yes, that would be great." And he said, "Well, Judy, since we're friends, I'm going to keep your car right up here near the front, so when you come up, back out, you won't have to wait so long." I thought that was the most wonderful experience.
That's the experience that we're talking about. That's the key thing. It's those small little things that make a big impact on the guests and customers.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if he did that for everybody, you know, but he made me feel like he did it just for me, like I was the only one, like I was somebody special. And when I came out, sure enough, it only took a few seconds to get my car. And you know what? I would make a point to go there more often because he called me by my name. And then I would actually drive downtown and park there even if I was going someplace else because I wanted my friends to see that he called me by my first name.
Exactly.
And that's an experience. You know, that's what that's what makes moments of magic for a customer. I always say that, you know, we either have moments of magic or moments of misery, and that was one of those moments of magic that customer made for me. So,
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You know, but that's the experience that you tell your friends and family about.
Yeah, and you know, we repeat it. I think the research says we repeat good things only about 5 or 6 times, but we repeat bad things like 20 times. We tell that many more people when we have a bad experience than we do when we have a good experience. And so, you know, I would think that the casino industry, the hospitality industry, would want people constantly doing nice things so that people are out there talking about what a wonderful place it is.
Yes.
So how do you change someone's perception? How do you get employees to change their perception?
The thing I do during the training is I try to put the employees, especially in the hospitality industry, in the shoes of the guests. Because, look at it, a lot of people in the hospitality industry, they go to hotels. They go to the restaurants. They're on both sides of the spectrum here. And the one question I do ask them is, do you treat your guests the way that you want to be treated as a guest? And a lot of times they forget about that. So they have to understand that these people are here for a reason, and it's their job to create that experience just as though they were one when they were on vacation. Because a lot of times you have these hotels, people are on vacation, they're on business, and they expect, they have the expectations. And I think the employees have to know what those expectations are. And the one way to find out is what would be their expectations if they go away? And once they understand that and see them as well as just another number coming through the hotel, that's how I think they change the perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, I think another thing we can do is we can ask the person, you know, what they would like us to do for them. Because so many times, you know, when a customer's having a bad experience and the employee's just trying to guess at what that person wants, it makes it a worse experience. It's better if you just say to the person, "Well, what is it that you want? What can I do for you? I'm here for you. I value you. I'll try to do everything I can to help you. I just need to know what it is."
That's the key. Ask questions. You know, find the want, find the need. See what they, you know, see what the concerns are. Because the last thing a guest wants is somebody say, "Well, I don't know. Let me find out," or refer them to somebody else. They want to know the person they speak to has their answers for them. And that's what they, and that's why it's so important for the people in the hospitality, the employees in the hospitality, it's not only to learn the job about the company they work for, they should have all the answers so that guest knows that if they have a concern, it's going to be answered then and there.
Yeah. And I think attitude plays a big part in the way we handle other people. You know, if my days are not going real well and I have bad things happen at home and then I have stuff happen in traffic, and then say I get a flat tire, and then the guy's rude to me, and then things. Then I show up at work. I'm probably not in a real good mood at that point.
No.
But don't you feel that people who are in the hospitality industry, they're almost like on stage? Don't they have to do something about that attitude the minute they walk in?
Exactly. And I talk about that in my talk, that take a situation. No matter how bad those days go, as soon as the lights go off, it's showtime. Everything that happened in the past is gone. They can't go to work and say, well, I don't feel good. I think I'm just going to go on stage and not perform well. They can't. It's showtime. The lights go on, and whatever happens in the past stays there until the show's over. And that's the mindset. The performers, hotel employees also like performers, because they're performing. Really, if they all work together, it's a great show. And the whole thing about the Cirque du Soleil shows is, I think it's the greatest example of a bunch of individuals working together to create an experience. And that's the mindset that all hospitality people share also.
Yeah, and those shows are just absolutely fabulous. But I think, like you say, it's the teamwork that makes it work. And is teamwork important in the customer service environment? Well, I'll take my next question. I have so many questions for you.
I believe so. And what I like to do is to compare it to, like, the relay races, you know, the 400-meter relay race, and they have the baton that they have to pass. In the race, if they drop the baton, they lose. It's the same thing in the hospitality. If somebody refers somebody or speaks to somebody, if a person goes to one person and don't get the answer, they go to the next person and doesn't get the answer. What they do is they're dropping the baton, they're losing. They have to be able to work as a team to make sure that, you know, the guests and the customers know exactly where to go, what to do, who to see, and it's one big teamwork.
Yes, most definitely. And listeners, we're talking with Rocco DiLorenzo today. He's a customer service expert in the hospitality industry. We thank you for joining us, because every show that we do basically comes from you, from the things you request and the things that you've told me are important. And I want to be sure that we talk about what's on your mind. So be sure to write me, Judy, at judymoreo.com. That's J-U-D-I. At judimoreo.com, and give me your questions and tell me what it is that you want to know. And also, while you're over there at judimoreo.com, go ahead and sign up for my free monthly newsletter and for our wonderful magazine that comes out four times a year, Choices. You can also sign up for Choices at choicesonlinemedia.com. Because that magazine is awesome. All of our guests that we have on the show and all of our writers in the Life Choices books write articles, and there's just fabulous information for you there. So go over and get the newsletter and the magazine. They're both free of charge. And thank you for listening with us today. We are talking with Rocco DiLorenzo. He is a customer service expert. And Rocco, I am so pleased that you're here. I just have so many questions for you. I'm hearing you talk about service in the hospitality industry, but doesn't this apply to all industries that we have to look at? The show is on. Now we've got to show up and be on stage.
It does apply everywhere. Like I spoke yesterday, I spoke to at a government building, and the way they took it, they have customers too that, you know, that they have to cater to. You know, it's not just the hospitality. It's anybody who has a face-to-face who is able to provide a service to somebody. It's the same thing. They have to create that experience. So they have to get to know the people. It just makes the person make their experience.
And are the people, like say the people behind the scenes, the people back of the house, would you say they too are in the customer service business?
If they at any point where they're going to, no, behind the scenes, yes, because they are, I guess, like the set of, you know, the stage people, that if it's not for them, then the people who go on stage can't do their job right. So, yes, in a way, they are part of this.
Yeah, I think they are, and I believe that those people backstage or those people back of the house, they need to look at the front of the house people as their customers,
yes.
Because the front of the house people can't deliver what they need to deliver as far as the show goes if everything's not running smoothly? And the people in the back of the house have to make it run smoothly for the front of the house people. So I think they ought to just look at all of the other employees and the supervisors and the managers and the big shops in the suits. They need to look at all of those people as their customers and say, what can I do to make it easier for them to serve our external customer? Would you agree there?
Yes, 100%. It's everybody, not just the, you know, the frontline workers. It's everybody has a part in creating what I call the experience.
I'm sorry, I got a little distracted here for just a minute. I've got workers all around me. There's people, I'm sorry, listeners, you guys can't see this and Rocky can't see it, but I am telling you there are people crawling all over in this place today, and it took me just a minute there. I got a tiny bit distracted, so please forgive me, Rocky. I am so sorry. In the hospitality industry, you have something called return on spending, ROS.
Yes.
What is that about?
Yes. Let's say a couple, you know, they go on vacation, you know, they had some more time, things got better, they come to, let's say, Las Vegas, they stay at a hotel. When they fly home and they think, you know, they think about, okay, we spent this much money, what did they get in return on them coming to Vegas, spending the money, you know? Did they meet their expectations? Did they get the money's worth? You know, and that's what it all comes down to. The example we give is, let's say you go out to a special dinner. Everything looks great. The service is good. The table was ready. The food was excellent. And you get the $300 bill. Now, it's worth the $300. But if you go out to a restaurant and your table is given off and the service is bad and the food is lousy, then you get the $300 bill. Well, the focus now is on the $300. And it's not an experience. So do people get the return on spending?
Oh, I like that. I like that. Because when we stop and think about it, you know, any time we're going to spend a lot of money for an experience, or, and that's what it is when we go to dinner at a nice restaurant or we stay in a nice hotel. It is an experience. And we want to be able to walk away from that experience feeling good about the money that we spent, not feeling like, oh, we got screwed around because they took our money, but we didn't get anything. You know, sometimes I'm on, exactly. You know, sometimes I'm on the airplane and because I, you know, I fly in and out a lot because of speaking, and I'll be on the airplane going, let's say, on Friday night, I'm coming home. I've had a busy week, and I'm really, really tired. But everybody on the airplane coming to Vegas on Friday night is so excited. They're all like, yes, yes, I can't wait. I'm going to get to Vegas. And, you know, and they'll say things like, how much money do you have to lose? And the other person will go, oh, yeah, well, I got $200 tucked away here. You know, it's just my spending money. If I lose it, I'll know I had a good time. And,
right.
You know, I always think, isn't that interesting that people actually think they're going to lose money, but yet they're going to have a good time?
The thing I always tell people, especially in the casino business, one of the greatest compliments they could get from the players is that they lost money, but they had a great time. And I think
yeah.
The compliment is that, you know, they did the job right. No, the dealer can't decide if the person's going to win or lose, but they can. The fact is, make sure that they have a good time. Either way, if they do win or lose, but, you know, and I hear that so many times, I just think that's one of the greatest sayings that, you know, even though, you know, I lost thousands or whatever, I had a good time. And that's what you want to talk about, good time.
Because people don't mind spending their money if they have a good time. But it's funny, on Sunday night when I'm leaving Vegas to go back out to work for the week, sometimes I'll hear people saying, well, you know, I didn't mind losing the money, but that dealer could have smiled at me. They could have at least smiled at me.
Right. And the problem I see is now, because let's say one bad dealer or one bad employee, they'll use that one person to represent the whole company. I mean, they can go back and tell the friends and family that they would never go back to that casino or hotel because the employees, you know, they generalize now because of one person.
Ah. So each and every employee becomes like a representative of all the rest of us.
Right. They are what I call the walking and talking brochures of the company. And the one bad employee, what's going to happen is they're going to say, I'll never go back to such and such Hotel Casino because because their dealers, their staff are so little. It could be just one employee.
And you know what? I wonder because, like, let's say one employee makes a horrible experience for someone, and then the person goes and complains to someone else, but that employee makes it better. Yes. They fix it. They make it magical. Which experience do you think the people remember the most?
The last one. I think if somebody could turn it around and make that bad experience into a positive one, they're going to remember as a positive one. Now the focus goes just on that one employee. That bad experience, but if the hotel casino or whoever could turn it around to something positive, that's what they'll remember last. That, wow, this place went out of its way to turn something bad into good for me.
You know, and I sometimes think that when something goes wrong and then somebody fixes it, we get a more loyal customer than we did if nothing ever went wrong in the first place.
Exactly. But the key is, and it's very important, that customer has to say something. You know, there's a statistic that goes that 68% of people go to the competitors because of a rude employee. 75% of those 68 never say anything to anybody. So if hotel casino doesn't know about the guest, then that's a lost guest. The problem is they don't say nothing. They don't speak up.
Yeah, because, you know, I think so many people are afraid of confrontation, and we feel like if we speak up, we're going to have confrontation, and it's going to be uncomfortable for us. And sometimes it is, but I really believe in Las Vegas. We've had such an emphasis on customer service the last few years that we try to make every effort to make customers comfortable. So when they do complain, I believe that in this town, across the board, we're more likely to try to fix it than not. We're more likely to try to make it a great experience because we want to be the customer capital of the world here. And even our Chamber of Commerce has this incredible customer service program where they reward employees in all of the various hotels and casinos and recognize them for having given good service if somebody sends a card or a note into the chamber.
Exactly.
Yeah, so let's say that we have an experience. Like we had one of the hotels where I was working. We had an experience where the hotel front desk was having problems checking people in. And so it was taking like long, long periods of time for people to get checked into the hotel. And then so the hotel was serving these people while they were waiting in line. They were serving them sandwiches and coffee and things. But it wasn't fixing the problem. And so they called us and they said, can you come in and find out what the problem is? And we found out there were a couple problems. One was that, you know, the back of the house wasn't getting the rooms clean enough on time so that the front desk could actually check people in. And the other situation we had was that a lot of the front desk people didn't really like people. They weren't really people. So do you find that a lot in the hospitality industry, or do you find that more times than not, people who work in this industry do like people?
I think the majority do like people, but then also they understand what I see is that there's your people that go to work, there's employees that go to work because they want to go to work, and there's employees that go to work because they need a paycheck. And the ones that need a paycheck, they don't care. All they want to know is that at the end of the week, every 2 weeks, they're going to get paid, and those people become more of a nuisance because the focus isn't on the guests or the customers. It's just that it's another eight-hour day. It's just the attitude. It goes back to the attitude going to work, and that's what I see a lot. I see people going to these businesses because, and I think I've noticed that something like 70% of the people are disengaged at the workplace, but they're physically, but they're not there mentally. And
It seems to me like if you need a paycheck, that'd be a real reason to want to go to work, you know? Because if you need the money, it looks like I'd want to go there and be the best I could be, so maybe people would hire me. But you know, I think attitude starts with our thoughts. You know, our thoughts seem to create our feelings, and our feelings create our behavior, and then our behavior creates the results we get. And I don't, you know, if people aren't behaving genuinely happy and pleasant and charming, you know, it's probably because they don't feel good about who they are. They don't think much of themselves. And what can we do to help them build their self-esteem, to get their attitudes better?
That, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of times, though, it's hard to help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. I guess you got to get them to see the bigger picture. I have to change their perspective. You know, like I try the same approach a lot of employees that know, it's all about your perspective. I mean, you got to see the bigger picture. And just a lot of times, there are some that, you know something, I just don't think it's any helping them because they just themselves don't want any help. So what I like to do when I go to businesses is focus on the ones that really want to make a difference. Because the other ones, I mean, what can you do? It's just so hard. They don't have the desire. I mean, you try to show them, but if it's not there, it's not there.
There was one casino where I was working, and they had this dealer that was the most incredible person I've ever seen in my life. He was dealing cards and having fun and making it fun, and every chair on his table was taken up, and people were standing in line to get chairs on his table because it was so fun to watch him and to play on his table. And I had several other of the dealers that were in my class say to me, "Oh, he's such a show-off, and he's so obnoxious, and, you know, I wouldn't be like him for anything." And I said, "Goodness, why wouldn't you be like him? He gets more tips than anybody on the floor. This man is filling up the tote box every night for all of you guys, and you guys are splitting them. And if you were all more fun like that, you know, you could make a lot more money." And I tried to get them to concentrate on the fact that they would benefit from the fact that they would be delivering the customer experience like Buster was. And boy, I'll tell you, it's like you say, some people, they just don't get it. No matter how hard you try to talk to them, they just saw him as being a show off. And yet the man was bringing in a lot of money that they were all benefiting from.
Right. Oh, the topic will be on. The problem is, I think the problem most casinos, they have the one size fits all mentality when it comes to the dealers. If you have a good dealer working real hard making all this money, and then the dealer next to him is what we call a lump, who's not doing any work, and then the good dealer's mind, he says, "Look, I'm doing all this work, and that dealer's going to make the same money as me." Then you get the dealer next to him, who's not doing anything, saying, "Well, why should I work harder? Because the dealer next to me is making all the money, and I don't have to do nothing. We're going to make the same kind of money." And that's, you know, that's what I call the hope dealer. And a hope dealer is one that hopes the other dealers to work hard so that they can benefit from it.
I've never heard that term.
Yeah, that's what the hope dealer, your hope employees, that they hope everybody else does their job so that they can benefit from them. And that's always been the toughest, sales topic of mine.
That's such a good point. I think I see that in a lot of the industries, you know, where people hope that someone else does the work, or I've never heard that term before, but thank you. Can I steal that? I want to use that and say, are you a hope person? Are you hoping somebody else is doing the work? Rocco, I tell you, it's been absolutely wonderful having you as a guest here on the show today. I've really, really enjoyed talking with you, and I hope you'll come back again sometime and talk with us more about this subject of customer service, because I believe it goes so much deeper. It goes into people's attitudes and people's thinking and how they feel about themselves and the amount of confidence they have. And it comes out as the end result of this incredible service that they either give or they don't give that makes the company either profitable or not profitable. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, this is Judy Morio, and thank you so much for joining us today. And if you have any questions for Rocco or myself, certainly please write to me, judy@judymorio.com. And remember, I spell my name with an I. That's JudyMorio.com. judy@judymorio.com. And go on over to my newsletter. You know, go to judymorio.com and sign up for that newsletter, because you'll get a free download of Realize Who You Are. And that'll help if you're having any kind of an attitude problem or any kind of a challenge. So thank you so much for joining us today. And always remember, you are more than enough.